Corruption Watch released its 2020 edition of its Analysis of Corruption Trends report. It shows that worries remain about the high levels of corruption in South Africa, with these practices often conducted in spaces that are supposed to deliver public services, but fall short because the emphasis on where resources are applied is all wrong. And of course, the report reflects on heightened concerns around corruption during the national lockdown, where it's been well documented that high-level corruption took place in the procurement of things like personal protective equipment. Well, to give us some insights into the report, I'm joined on the line by Melusi Ngala. He's a researcher at Corruption Watch. Thank you, Melusi, for joining us. So your report notes that more people have approached Corruption Watch with complaints compared to the recent past. What sort of complaints are coming in?
In this report, we basically accept all whistleblowing incidents relating to corruption, of course. And in this edition of the ACT report, Analysis of Corruption Trends report, we found that in the approximate 2,000 reports of corruption received, 13% relate to corruption in the South African Police Service, whilst local government, licensing centres, traffic departments, as well as schools, account for 5% apiece. And then the health sector accounts for 4%.
So it's quite a worry to hear that of all the complaints coming in, police corruption appears to be tops, as you've just mentioned. What are the main grievances around their conduct?
Yeah, it's the second time around, at least, that we are highlighting corruption in the South African Police Service as a top area. And this time around, it's issues of brutality, bribery, police just not being responsible in terms of holding each other responsible when members of the public go and complain. And we see this in manifesting itself in the 31% bribery allegations and 29% abuse of power incidents that people have reported to us.
So corruption within the municipalities remains a huge problem, particularly in the area of procurement. And this continues to be echoed by the Auditor General's office, even though they don't necessarily use that particular term.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those phenomena that it's very troubling and very disconcerting in the sense that, you know, this is the most basic level of government and where people actually deal with officials directly. And what we found, that at least based on the allegations received, is that people are accusing officials of receiving kickbacks from companies that operate in a cartel structure. So it's almost guaranteed that there's a select group of companies that will always be given important tenders. And these tenders are about community development, sports facilities, for example, or the provision of basic services such as water and sanitation. But you find that, you know, some of these projects have just come to a halt and no one knows what actually happened.
It is quite disconcerting. I mean, the COVID-19 investigations into, you know, the procurement of PPEs, that really seems to be dragging. And yet these are very recent misdemeanors or crimes that one would have thought would be easier to conclude, especially because some people were caught red-handed. And it's a bit of a worry that it takes so long, as opposed to crimes and allegations that come from many years ago.
Yeah, I mean, the PPE saga is something that is prevalent in the reports that we talk about in relation to into the health sector. But, I mean, it goes big. For us, it's quite bigger than that because, you know, we have reports where people will talk about managers or CEOs of hospitals and clinics insisting that their family members or their friends be awarded procurement tenders, for example, relating to maintenance or catering services or even providing medical equipment or medicines.
Now, of course, the issue as well is that often corruption is leveled at the public sector, but ultimately you do need a corrupter and a corruptee. And so there's a lot of corruption as well in the private sector.
Yeah, I mean, it's we view corruption, at least, you know, as something that there's an intersection between the public sector and the private sector. The most prominent figures, at least, are your political elite and those shady business people. And so that's what's been happening here, at least in cases of the health sector, as well as the municipalities And I mean, we can even take it a little bit further and look at something like schools, for example, where you find that, you know, the principals will work alongside parents who are serving on SGB school governing bodies only to steal funds from schools. So it's, you know, we shouldn't look at the private aspect in terms of big corporations, but also people like you and myself who actually interact with these institutions and seek favors from officials.
So one of the really unsavory developments that we heard about during the lockdown was around food parcels that were supposed to go to those who actually need them, being diverted to others to benefit those who essentially stole them. I'm sure your phone was ringing off the hook on that issue.
Yeah, this is something that has been happening largely within communities because councillors and other local government officials were tasked with that responsibility, or at least as far as government distribution of food parcels. And what we found, at least in this report, we speak of 67 cases so far, is that people would say that these councillors and various officials would favor their family members and their friends, and for members of the public who wouldn't receive these food parcels, they'll be told that they'd have to pay some kind of fee if they want to get them, if they want to get the food.
Now, when you look at the developing corruption trends, what conclusions do you draw from the whole situation, and what are some of the solutions you'd propose? And are you hopeful that our prosecuting authorities are now more empowered to do their job?
It is a bleak picture that this report depicts of the current status of our society, you know. But I think there's something to be learned from the 2000 whistleblowers, in the sense that, you know, these are people that are actually in communities who understand how corruption manifests, and it affects them more than us who try to, you know, reason it and rationalize it. So we should take heart from these people, because, you know, these are your teachers, laborers and artisans and various mothers and fathers of our society. And maybe it's high time that we actually stand by them and say that, you know, enough is enough. With that said, people are looking for consequences. You know, it's time that we don't just talk about who's corrupt, but we see officials, or at least implicated parties, being prosecuted.
Do you think we're getting there, though, Melusi?
At the moment, it's not looking as such. I mean, you know, we'll be fooling ourselves if we say that something of the sort is occurring. But, you know, there are signs, perhaps, that, you know, officials are gearing up. But that's been happening for the past 2-3 years, we're told. So, you know, we just wait with bated breath to see that, indeed, it's not only going to be the little people, but actually the big fish who are going to be held accountable.
That was Melusi Ngala. He's a researcher at Corruption Watch.